Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to hear the chorus this morning. A few missing, some on work study, and some sick. But nevertheless, it's nice to hear the greeting. Turning to the wonderful parable we have been looking at, I hope that you have found our study interesting. I really do. And I hope that it awakens within your heart a desire to take more careful note of God's Word. I'd like to think that that would be the result of our study together. It's like when you go out on a field trip and you're doing a bit of searching and a bit of examining and a bit of looking, and you turn over stones just to see what's under them. Take note of the little creatures that hide there, live there. Well, that's what we do when we read the Word of God. We turn over stones. We look carefully at little phrases, little words, and we turn them over, have a careful look at them, and just see what it is that they say to us. Now, we're coming to the end of our study. I keep saying that, don't I? But we are coming to the end of our study. Not today, but we're getting there. Just two verses I want to read with you, verse 34 and the verse 35. Luke chapter 10, verse 34 and the verse 35. And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I want to look at that little phrase, when I come again. I was thinking this morning that the story of the Good Samaritan would almost have been as interesting if that phrase hadn't been there. But every word of God is good, so that whatever you see in the Bible, God has put it there, and put it there with a very good reason. I mentioned to you the fact that this Good Samaritan didn't consider his duty toward this poor injured man done when he got him to the inn. He didn't say, well, now I've done all that I need to do. I've done my duty. No, but rather you see him paying over money and saying to the innkeeper, this is payment for you to take care of him. Do you know what's interesting? The word care there in the verse 34, and it's also in the verse 35. That word appears 3 times in the New Testament. It's twice here, verse 34, verse 35, and then one other place. I did quote to you the one other place when we mentioned this before. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 5. The chapter 3 of Timothy is a chapter in which Paul is speaking about the duties of the office of a bishop, or, as we know that term, an elder. And in the verse 5, Paul says, For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? That's the only other place that you find this word, and it's in reference to the care that God has given to those who are elders. The responsibility God has given to those who are elders to care for the church. Just as in the parable, the responsibility is given to the innkeeper to take care of the injured man. It's just wonderful, boys and girls, how the Lord, in a few words, can just encompass so much Christian doctrine. And having said that, I want to come to the phrase that we're going to be looking at, and again, it will be seen that the Savior, in just a few words, is able to, can I use the word, pack in so much information. He says, And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again. There's the words I want us to look at today. When I come again. Good Samaritan went away, but he was coming back. He was coming back. And there is, of course, a picture there of the return of Christ. I thought when I noticed this and thought about it, that the return of Christ is a very important doctrine, a very important doctrine. And its importance is seen in that in this short little parable, the Savior makes reference to that great event. He pictures it in the return of the Samaritan to the man who was injured and whom he left in the care of the innkeeper. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. And there is a picture, boys and girls, of the event that lies ahead of us. The return of Christ. The return of Christ. First thing I want you to notice is that just like the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus had to journey on. If you carefully note in the Gospels, and I hope when you read the Bible, and the Gospels in particular where the life of the Lord Jesus is recorded, I hope that you take note of every little phrase. Take your time and look at each phrase. Take note of it. Think about it. And as you read the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one thing you will notice. He was always on the move. He was always on the move. In fact, in the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, there was an occasion when the people of one town came to him and said, "Oh, we want you to stay. We have so enjoyed your visit. We want you to stay." It's in chapter 4, I do believe. This one he came to me, you see, as I'm standing here. Yes, it's verse 42. The people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. That is, they held him back. They said, "Oh, don't leave us," that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also." See, the Savior was on a journey. He had work to do. You remember what he said when he was 12 years old to Joseph and to Mary? "I must be about my Father's business." And here he is, about his Father's business. People said, "We've enjoyed you. Please stay that we might enjoy more." But the Savior said, "I'm thinking of those who haven't heard, and I must go and preach to them." And you will find that throughout the New Testament. He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, and he said this to his disciples, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." Let's go to the next town. See? Journeying. And the Good Samaritan stayed overnight, but then he said, "I must go on. I'm on a journey. I must go on. But here's money. Spend it on the care of this man." The second point I want you to notice is not only that the Samaritan was on a journey and thereby he pictures the Savior, but the Samaritan made a promise. He said, "I'll return." He promised to return. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. That Jew that was injured, the Samaritan had an affection for him. He had a concern for him. And he said, "I'm going to come back and see how he is." Listen to me. The Lord Jesus loves his people. Those he came to earth to redeem, to lift up out of the dirt where they had fallen victim to sin and the devil, and whom he gathered up and bound up their wounds and started the great process of healing and recovery. Though he has departed and gone to heaven, he's coming again because he loves that people. He hasn't forgotten us. He didn't go away because he didn't care any more about us. No. He's coming again. He's coming again. John chapter 14 and the verse 3 explains why he went away and promises that he will return. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That tells it all. Why did they leave? He's gone to prepare a place for us. And he says, "If I've gone to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and bring you to that place, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Lord cannot live without his people. I can honestly say, the Lord can't be happy without his people. He must have them with him. The union between Christ and his people is likened unto a marriage union. Do you know why marriage takes place? Because a man and a woman have come to the conclusion they can't live without each other. They can't live without each other. It's not enough for them to see one another once a week and have a little chat? No, they come to the conclusion that such is the affection that has been placed in their heart for one another, they can't live without the company of one another. And that's how it is with Christ. Now, the child of God has a longing for Christ to come again, because we'll never be entirely happy until we're in his presence. And I can tell you this, Christ will never be happy until he has his people about him. I hope I haven't overstated the matter, but I do believe that it's so. Now, you notice what the Samaritan didn't say, and that's always important when you're reading the Bible. Be careful to note what isn't said. Let me read to you those words again, and then, well, maybe there'll be a hand come up when I ask the question, what isn't said? Verse 35, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. What does he not say? That's right. He didn't say how long he was going to be away. He didn't say how long he was going to be away. He didn't say when it was he was going to be back. He just said, I'm going away, but I am coming back. And you know, in the New Testament, there is no direct information about how long the Savior is going to be away. Now notice I used the word direct. That is, you'll not be able to turn up a verse that says, the Lord Jesus Christ will be away for 1,000 years, 2,000 years. No, there's nothing directly said. But he has given us hints about the interval between his going and his coming back. I want to show you where we might find something of these hints. Look, please, at Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 14. Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country. The Savior's talking about events at the end of this age, his coming again, etc. And here he throws in this little parable. And notice what he says in the parable. The kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country. You can read on down the details of the parable. And then we come to verse 19 and we read, after a long time, the lords of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Two little phrases there that indicate to us something about the time involved in Christ's going away. The first one is in verse 14, he went into a far country. This was a long journey. And then in the verse 19, he came back again after a long time. Boys and girls, there is there the hint that the Savior wasn't going to come back again to his church in a year or two. He had gone on a long journey. And it was a long time after he departed that he would return again. In Luke chapter 20, you have another parable. It's not the same parable. It's a parable in which the Savior uses a story about a vineyard. Luke chapter 20, and we're looking at the verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country, for a long time. So, here are two different parables, found in the wording used by the Savior, is this reference to a far country and a long time. And I believe that the Lord Jesus was thus telling his church that the interval between his going and his coming again was going to be a long one. It's going to be a long one. There are some, you know, that would tell us that the New Testament church lived with a constant expectation of Christ returning at any moment. There are some who believe that would teach that today. It was never taught until very recent time. It was a doctrine that emerged around about the mid-1800s. There was never any appearance of it before that. But the doctrine says, oh, the early church was in constant expectation of the Lord coming at any moment. But that is not so. And I can say that categorically. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul's dealing with a troubled people. A problem had arisen in the church in Thessalonica, and the problem was that there were those who were giving forth false doctrine regarding the second coming of Christ. The verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by or regarding," that's what the word means, "the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and regarding our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us." There were those who were putting out letters, teaching this false doctrine, and signing it with Paul's name, making out that Paul had written them, "as that the day of Christ is at hand." It's about to come. That's what they were saying. It's about to come. And Paul's countering this. What does he say? Verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" So the early church was taught that the Lord Jesus is not going to come very soon. Certain things have got to happen before he comes. And among the things that have got to happen before he comes is there is a great apostasy. That's what the word falling away means. There is a great apostasy. A great falling away from the truth of God, the Bible. A turning of the back upon the Bible. A rejecting of the Bible. We see that today. That's what's happening today. That's what's happening today. There is, I think I can use the word universal, turning of the back upon the Bible. Even in those countries that would still claim to be Christian. The United Kingdom would, at least many in the United Kingdom, would claim, "Oh, we're Christian." And yet, the United Kingdom rejects the Bible. They laugh at those who preach the Bible. They scorn those who preach the Bible. Yet the Queen, when she was crowned Queen, the Bible played a part. And she made promises on the Bible. And when another sovereign comes to the throne, they'll doubtless do the same again. But it's only a show. It's only a show. There is no genuine belief in the Bible. And the man in the street, no time for the Bible. Ask the minister in charge here in our church. He and Mr. Maxwell are out giving out literature. And there's no interest in what the Bible has to say. Because the great apostasy is taking place. The great falling away. And that's one of the signs that the coming of the Lord's drawing near. But 2,000 years have passed since the Lord left us. But he's coming back again, boys and girls. He's coming back again. He's gone to a far country. He's going to be there, he indicated, for a long time. But he's coming back again. He's coming back again. And I want you to bear that in mind. The world says, "Where is the promise of his coming? That promise is an old promise. Nothing has ever happened." But the Savior, we know, indicated to his people, "I'll be away for a long time, but I'm coming back." So we're not in despair. We cling to the promise of the Lord Jesus. And I'll just close with this simple truth. He promised to return to the same place he left. That's what the Samaritan said. "I'll come again." Where to? "To this inn. I'm going away from the inn, but I'm going to come back to the inn." I believe with all my heart that the very spot on this earth from which the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago is the same very spot he will return to. Zechariah chapter 14, and we close with the reading of these verses. Zechariah 14, that's the last book of the Old Testament but one. The chapter 14, Zechariah, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Where did he leave from? The Mount of Olives. And he's coming back again. When he left, naturally enough, the apostles were standing gazing, as people who are bidding farewell to someone sailing away on a boat, or going away on a train, or even going away in a car. People will stand and watch as they disappear. And those disciples were standing watching as the Savior disappeared toward heaven. And an angel spoke to them and said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come in like manner, even as you saw him go." Right to the same spot. I do believe that. Right to the same spot that he left. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's going to happen. Jesus Christ, the one we read about in the Bible, but which our eyes have never seen, is going to come back to this world, and he will stand on the Mount of Olives. And what wonderful things will happen as a result of him returning. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our heart these words. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word, Lord. Oh, bless your word to hearts today. And grant your blessing upon each boy and girl, upon each teacher, and upon the work of God here in the school. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.